The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
You know, I've been looking at this Arkansas-Colorado State game and breaking it down and looking at rosters and looking at matchups and da-da-da. And maybe I am just tripping. I don't know. But the more I look at it and research it and think about it, the more I feel like Arkansas is going to run away in this game. Now, it's early to see because, I mean, Arkansas has only played one game. Colorado State's got two, so at least we have a little better indication on what to expect out of them. But just looking at... what Colorado State has on defense, which is next to nothing.
Right.
Looking at what they have on offense, which I think they have some good offensive pieces, but nothing that just is fearful that they're going to score 50 on Arkansas. I don't think that's going to be the case. When I'm looking at all these things, I just feel like this game is not only going to be Arkansas to win, but Arkansas to win in a big way.
44 points a game is what their defense has given up so far.
Over 600 yards a game.
600 plus yards, you know, not quite approaching 700, but... You feel like if Arkansas can settle in, and if one of the two quarterbacks, and if in, you know, I would be floored and shocked if Ty Story doesn't start the game, based on everything that Chad Morris has said in the press availabilities this week, that Ty Story is getting the number one reps, Cole's getting some of them, but Ty Story is the first one to start with the ones. That tells me he's going to be the starter based on what he's telling us, even though he's not naming, you know, to this point who's going to start. And the depth chart has those as an or situation. If he has anything close to what he did last week in performance, and the receivers can run open a bit, and it sounds like with this defense that's going to be possible, I'm with you. This is the possibility of a runaway. The question is, can John Chavis's defense, who's got some experienced players, are they beat up a little bit too much? Greenlaw's ankle, bumper pull nicked up a little bit. What about these guys on defense? Can they slow down what has been a very high-octane passing attack from Colorado State to this point? They just hadn't scored enough points to keep up with their porous defense. Because they're getting nearly 400 yards a game, 350-plus yards a game in passing right now.
Well, see, and that's the thing that's kind of weird about Colorado State. They're averaging 468 yards offensively a game, and they are only averaging 23.5 points.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty mind-blowing when you have that many yards and you only have 23.5 points.
And it's a little tough to tell what Arkansas is and where they're really at, considering they played an FCS team.
Right.
With Colorado State, they played Hawaii and Colorado. So, I mean, that's a decent enough competition sample to kind of figure out what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I think it is, at least. Yeah. I mean, they're a Mountain West a team, but they've, you know, they've played... Two good teams and going to play their third Power 5 team by next week when they play Florida.
So. Well, and if you're a Razorback fan, and this is an obvious statement, though, but if you're a Razorback fan, you're hoping, or you here's the thing. If you're expecting a close game, if it's going to be close, it's going to be high scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's high scoring on both sides, then that's going to be really worrisome for Arkansas's defense in the rest of the season. That's going to be something you're like, oh, geez, that's not looking good. And that's, again... why I feel like Arkansas is going to run this, because they'll be able to score, but defensively they're improved a lot, and I think that they're going to slow them down. If they can only score 23.5 points against Colorado and Hawaii, why should they or why could they score more against Arkansas, which supposedly has SEC athletes on the defensive side of the ball? That's how it at least looks. That's how it should be. Whether or not that'll be the case is a different story.
Here's the thing to also watch, I think. Rushing defense for Colorado State, 228 yards a game, 106th in the country. Again, this is Arkansas got 80 yards last week.
It's like you said, Tommy,
rush on these guys.
You won't rush on anybody at all.
That question we threw out earlier this week, will Arkansas get 1,200 yards of rushing as a team this year? This game we may revise that to 1,000 yards if you get under 100 this week. Because this seems to be a team, because I put more faith and stock in their stats than I do Arkansas's at this point, since they have two games under their belt, and they're giving up 228 a game. I look for Arkansas to get at least what's a reasonable number, guys? $150?
Yeah, I'd say at least
125, 150 at a
minimum.
They got to
get at least 150.
I mean, if they come away with like 103 yards, I'm still concerned, even though they broke 100. Just break it 100, particularly if like you had one chunk play where that was 60 in one play or something, and the rest of the time you're averaging 2 point something a carry again. Yikes.
So if
I'm a little more concerned considering what they've done in through two games.
If the Vegas line was set at 140 rushing yards, they might have. Yeah, I mean you can find anything these days. Do you go the over with Arkansas? 140 rushing yards.
I do.
Tommy?
I do. I think they're going to get over 140.
I'm going to go over because I think that is a point of emphasis. That's something that Chad Morris does not want to have to be answering more questions about, is the anemic rushing attack. So I think they will, if they get a chance to run that total up, if that Colorado State defense would allow that, they will run that total up. So, yeah, I'd go over. But I wouldn't be real comfortable.
No.
Second part of that question, who leads the team in rushing on Saturday?
Well, it won't be a quarterback.
No. Flip a coin. I could see any of them doing it.
Again, it could come down to one of those chunk plays where finally they find a crease, find a seam in Whaley or Hammonds or, you know, pick one of them. Gets free and gets into the secondary and runs for 35, 40 yards plus. That may be your winner, Judge.
Yeah. Because even in the game against Eastern Illinois, what was the longest run they had from a running back? Was it 10 yards by Chase Hayden, maybe? We'd have to double check.
I thought Malik Williams.
Or maybe it was Malik Williams, because I know he got in.
Well, Ty Story had a 10-yard rush, and T.J. Hammonds had a 10-yard rush.
Wow.
Those were the longs of the day.
Yeah, that's not going to
Malik Williams had a 7, Devall Whaley with an 8, Rakeem Boyd had a 7-yard rush, and other than that, it's twosies and threesies.
Yeah, you're not going to have that. You can't have that. Yeah. You got to be able to have some big play ability in the running back position.
Arkansas had 80 net yards on 37 attempts. That's 2.2. And what we need to watch is that yards per carry, that average. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, because I'm curious to see what's Chad Morris going to do, because I think he's going to, of course, try to rush the ball and pass the ball. But is he going to put more emphasis on it? Because as far as the passing yards go, that's where Colorado State's at its weakest on the defensive side of the ball. They give up passing yards like crazy. I mean, they give up yards, period. But, I mean, if you just look at the passing numbers itself, 378 yards a game.
Let's also think about this. If you're able to run the football, you keep it out of the hands of Curtis Samuels, who can move the ball, who can throw it. Now, you're correct in the fact that, you know, they get all these yards, 600 and something yards, 606 a game. Pardon me, I'm looking at the wrong one here real quick. 468 a game that they're getting, but they're only getting 23 points.
Shows that they get all yards, but they don't know how to punch it in. They don't know how to convert on it, take advantage of it. That's what that tells me.
It's like the Falcons last night.
Exactly. I mean, if they can get yards all day long, but if they can't score, it doesn't matter. You just don't want that to be the case against Arkansas. You don't want them to be the first team where they start scoring.
And here's a weird stat. Red zone offense is looking down here at the stat breakdown comparison.
Yep.
You know what Colorado State's red zone percentage is?
I wouldn't think pretty good.
You wouldn't think based on what we've told you. It's 100%.
Wow.
But are those field goals? Are those touchdowns?
I don't know. They just kind of stood out to me when we're talking about all these yards and not much points. Huh. You know, you wouldn't think you'd have a red zone.
Okay, so now we're going to have to break this down, because obviously I watched a little bit of the games that they've played. So if the red zone is really good, the red zone percentage is really good, but they get a lot of yards, not a lot of points.
And I'm looking at turnovers. They've only lost 2 turnovers, gained 3, so they're plus 1.
It must mean that they just get a lot of possessions, if that's the case. They get a lot of offensive possessions, and they move the ball but they don't move it enough to get into the 20. I don't know. That's a weird stat.
If it gives it 100%, 100% doesn't necessarily mean they score touchdowns.
They haven't had. My point is they haven't had a lot. No one goes 100% on a decent sample size. My point is they're not getting it in the red zone. Probably.
I bet that's what.
That isn't like that's 7 of 7. It doesn't tell me how many attempts in the red zone. I'm guessing they're like two of two, you know.
Well, like I said, it counts field goals, too.
Right.
So, but even if they are getting into the red zone, though, it's still showing that they're moving the ball to the red zone. We don't know how many times they've been in it, but still, it just shows you that for whatever reason, they have the ability to have a very good offense, a very productive offense. But having a productive offense doesn't mean squat if you don't score points.
Well, I mean, it's like 2012 at Arkansas. You know, they moved the ball great between the 20s.
Yeah. Well, it's even like you think like in the games that stick out, like that Toledo game in 2015 when Arkansas only scored 12 points, one was on the safety. They had like 500 yards offense in that game, but only 12 points, 10 offensive.
Stats can lie to you. Numbers can lie.
No. So this is one of the reasons why I'm looking at it. It's just like, Arkansas should win this game going away.
You got to be careful.
I know you
when
do.
Looking at numbers this early in the year. But Colorado State, we got two games. With Arkansas, I'm not.
And I know it's early, but would you say Arkansas is better than Hawaii? A better football team, top to bottom, than Hawaii? They got better athletes, you would think, right?
That doesn't justify a better football team.
No, but I'm saying, I know it doesn't justify it, but I'm saying that when it comes to matchups, when it comes to man-on-man, that's worth something. Yeah. So, you would think, again, that Arkansas should match up very well against Colorado State and win this game easily. And that's what I think. So, when we make our predictions later in the show.
I like your 140 yards rushing.
I think that's solid.
I think that's a good over-under line there, Ty. We got to really zero in on this as we analyze and break down this game.
Yeah. I still think it's going to be over.
That's a good... You know, you really got to stop and think about me because if Arkansas doesn't run the football, I think that's the one thing to watch more than anything this week,
without a doubt.
When we're gonna walk, you know, everybody's gonna talk about quarterbacks, Ty Story and Colt Kelly, and on and on and on and on and on. Can they run the football against these guys?
Yeah. Well, if you can't run them against Colorado State, you're not gonna run them for the rest of the season.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
To the phone lines as former Razorback defensive lineman Raymond House joins us. Good morning, Raymond. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How about you guys?
Oh, we're pumped up about this game tomorrow, Arkansas and Colorado State. There's a lot of things we want to get to with you on it, and I want to start with, of course, the defensive side of the ball. I felt like Arkansas played pretty well against Eastern Illinois defensively. I know that you need a few more games to really figure out how much this defense has improved, but you'll get a team like Colorado State. They can sling the ball around, averaging 359 yards in the two games that they've had. They don't score a lot of points, but they're definitely able to throw it around the field and get some yards on you. As a defense, and if you're John Chavis, what type of mentality are you going into this game, and what game plan are you going to be able to use?
Yeah, well, to your first point, I do agree that it is tough to glean a lot from your first game right out against an FCS foe. Had some success, obviously some gaps you need to fill. As far as defending, those mid-range to long-range plays. But still, you've got to love what the culture, how the culture has changed as far as how they take the defense. This is not a defense that's going to sit back on their heels and wait for things to come to them. They definitely want to be aggressive. They definitely want to attack. And I think that's the game plan they definitely have to have. Coming into this game, yes, to your point, this team in Colorado State does have a penchant to be able to pass the ball very well, led by K.J. Carter-Samuels, the graduate transfer coming in, not afraid of the big stage and not afraid of playing against those Power 5 teams. Arkansas has to make sure that Colorado State remains one-dimensional. They can't let the running game be a part of what they do and a part of what their game is. When you think about Colorado State last week, the one key for them that actually stifled them on offense is the simple fact they were not able to run the ball carrying for less than 3 yards a carry. And I think that's the game plan they have to go in, ensuring, yes, we know this is a passing team, but ensuring that they stay one-dimensional so that way we can be strategic in how we attack that one dimension.
We've been talking about Arkansas being able to run the ball. Colorado State, nearly 230 yards in their first two games on average of allowing rushing yards. What do you expect from the Arkansas ground game against this Colorado State defense? Will Arkansas have some success this week after only getting 80 net rushing yards against Eastern Illinois?
I definitely expect the Razorbacks to be intentional with trying to get the running game going. And I think they'll probably try to mix some things up, you know, as, as far as what type of formations they try to do that within. But the bottom line is, when you think about this offensive line coming into the season, all of the injuries that occurred within the preseason, still probably some guys that are dealing with some bumps and bruises here and there, still trying to find their way, still trying to gel. All with that being considered, this is still a very, very new to them, right? And how is it that they are successful from their position, you know, within this offense is still to be determined. Those are things they're still trying to get a feel for. But I expect them to be very intentional and doing some things to make sure that, there's an effort to go ahead and try to get that running game going. With that being said, it's still a matter of it's a matter of being successful and taking what the defense gives you. So if there are some passing lanes that are there, I expect them to try to exploit that as well. But I know they definitely want to at least have that intentional effort to be able to put some focus on that running game, because it's going to be crucial once you get into conference play.
Speaking with former Razorback defensive lineman Raymond House on the Morning Rush. Raymond, it's an early season road trip, and not just any road trip. I mean, you're pretty ways away. You're in a different time zone even up into Colorado State. And since you mentioned how they're still trying to figure things out, still trying to learn some stuff and a lot of new faces around this team, I mean, does that have any impact when you're having to travel that far to a team that you're unfamiliar against as a defensive player or anybody in this matchup against Colorado State? Does that have any impact at all?
Absolutely. It absolutely does. When you talk about going on the road, period, and you think about this Arkansas team and its history of struggles of winning on the road as well, so you think about the last 3 years, it's been few and far between them being successful when they're not in Razorback Stadium. You talk about the time change. You talk about the elements, the climate, the elevation, all those things that they also have to deal with as well, being in Colorado. Those are things that they definitely have to do some things to acclimate. As soon as they get in town today, making sure that they're adjusted to the temperature, to the air quality, all of those things, trying to make sure that everything it is they need to do to be successful on the road, because it's all about the distractions. You'll still have yes, they're an 0-2 team, but they'll still have a motivated crowd that'll be there. And then this team will definitely be up to play you, especially knowing that they want to get back on the track of being successful. Anyway, this is a team that's been in 3 straight bowls, so they know how to win. They just haven't had the success from that this year. So they're definitely being on the road, especially with the team on the defensive side, you know, more than half of the team having 1 year less of experience. These are all things that definitely play in consideration. And this will definitely point to how this coaching staff can handle those situations to be and prepare this team to be able to be successful on the road.
And no matter how you define success for this season, whatever your win total is, I think it's hard to get to that total, whatever it is, without a win in Fort Collins tomorrow.
No, absolutely. I think a part of, you know, the litmus test for me as far as success for this year is, can you get it done non-conference, and can you win some of those lower echelon conference games? And this would be obviously a part of them having it. So if there's any chance for a bowl game going into this season, it definitely hinges on a game like this. So, yes, it's early, but they have to know the absolute importance of being successful and doing things the right way within detail on the road, how important it is to the season as a whole.
Raymond, I know it's early, just one game to watch, but what would you identify as the strength of the Razorback defense so far with just one game to watch?
Well, I like the overall general effort on how they try to pursue the football, and that's one of those things I think is a big difference, you know, contrast from year to year. You definitely see them pursue the ball with some tenacity. You definitely see them going down, trying to go down the hill. There's no wait around and hold off for it. It's difficult to be completely successful in defenses, you know, in this new world of football with it being so offensive focused and the volume of plays that put pressure on defenses. But right now, the one thing I can take away from is there's just the general pursuit, and it seems to be the tenacity for them to go pursue the football and attack the football, obviously, with the number of turnovers they had within the last game. So hopefully that's one of those things that'll carry, and as a general a point of emphasis that they keep going for as they move on, continue to pursue the football as aggressively as you possibly can and be as disruptive once you get there.
We'll see if this persists and carries on, but you might even say linebackers as far as position groups might be the best of the three. Again, it's one game, but this is the best group of linebackers, best play from the linebackers we've seen early in the year in several seasons.
Yeah, and that can't be really as a surprise when you think about, you know, led by Greenlaw and Harris, you know, two 100 tackle plus potential guys, and then you throw in the fact of a talented young guy like Buffer Poole coming in and being a playmaker and filling in instances of injury. That's definitely going to be something that's going to help them as the season goes on. Their depth will be challenged, but definitely excited about the linebacker group, and they definitely showed to be a strength as far as positions is concerned. But once you, but I'd be curious to see once you get a Randy Ramsey healthy and firing off within that front four, if that changes kind of that dynamic as well.
Raymond, I got to ask you about this too. Going back to Saturday, Arkansas defense caused a lot of turnovers. I mean, they had five fumbles there. It was nearly a record, at least in the opening game, and they were pursuing the ball. And when you watch that game, was that more just Eastern Illinois not doing a very good job of ball security, or did you see some plays where you can tell that this defense has really emphasized trying to rip the ball out, cause some turnovers? And if that's the case, then, man, that may bode very well for Arkansas the rest of the way.
I think it's a combination of both. You know, obviously Eastern Illinois having some issues with ball security, but it's not like all of those turnovers were unabated. You definitely see the focus of getting punching the ball out when you're behind, or ripping it forward, you know, trying to rip the eagle claw out from the front of them. You definitely see that being a point of emphasis in attack. Once they make contact, trying to put the face mask into where the football is, you know that's a sign of them being specifically coached to say, this is the most important thing on the field, and we want to go out there and put the ball in our offensive hands as much as we possibly can, whether that's with some stifling within the plays or causing that ball to get on the ground and stuff. And if once it's on the ground, we're the ones that's going to get it. You definitely saw them being focused in a way to be able to do that. Yes, people can put the ball on the ground, but it still takes an opportunistic defense that's focused on looking for that football to be able to take advantage.
Real quick before we let you get out of here, Raymond, prediction for tomorrow. Think Arkansas wins this game? What do you got?
I think Arkansas will win this game. I think it's going to be one where the competition level is going to raise, and so I think there's going to be a greater challenge. But I still think that somewhere between the two and three touchdowns, I think, will be the gap. You know, Colorado State, still a team trying to figure themselves out and try to be successful with a lot of changes that they have to deal with as well this year. But I think this team will be able to take advantage of a defense that's given up 1,200 yards already within the season, be able to score more points than Colorado State going in by somewhere in the range, probably two touchdowns at least.
Well, there you have it. Former Razorback defensive lineman Raymond House. Always appreciate you joining us, Raymond. Great stuff, man. Looking forward to catching up with you next week.
Looking forward to it as well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
I'm ready for this because I'm winning. Am I winning? I'm winning, right, Ty?
Because of the bonus point, John. It's up 2-1-1.
Now, remind me what the bonus point was.
The score differential between Arkansas and Eastern Illinois. John got the closest because he picked the biggest blowout win, and Arkansas won by 35.
Yeah.
Consequently, the line Vegas had for that game, 35.
I'm just that good, Tommy. People are just going to have to start listening to me when I start betting. Mm-hmm. So, but either way, without further ado, let's get into it.
Fence Man Friday football picks. Call the Fence Man for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fence Man. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, there's a few games going on this weekend that I'm excited about, so give us the first one, Ty, and the spread.
We're going to use the Arkansas game for last, so we're going to start with Clemson, Texas A&M.
What's the spread?
Minus 12 in favor of the visiting Clemson Tigers. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, again, we'll start with you. Who you got in this one, man?
Man, I think Jimbo Fisher and Dabo Sweeney.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't think Dabo's got anything in his repertoire to surprise old Fisher, but I don't think it'll matter either. I think that Clemson probably covered the spread.
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with Texas A&M. I'm going to go with Texas A&M the points. I don't think they'll win.
Hold on. John's been dogging Texas A&M all offseason.
Yeah.
And then here, when it comes down to money-making time, get a $75 million
man. Bones on the line.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they're going to win.
Trash Jimbo Fisher. Oh, I pick him.
I'm not saying he's going to win. Not saying he's going to win, but I do believe it's going to be a close game. It's going to be closer than the 12 points. So give me Texas A&M with the points there.
Tyler?
You know, I was really impressed by Texas A&M week one. I'm going Texas A&M to cover the spread. I, I'm, I don't know. They might win the free. They might win the football game.
Wow.
But they're going to cover the spread.
All right. All right, let the old man come in here and drop some knowledge on you boys.
Oh, boy, can't wait. He's even got a sheet that he's been researching.
Clemson is 0-2 at Kyle Field, but it doesn't matter. That was 1974 and 2004. Doesn't matter. Here's what does matter. Clemson has won 14 of their last 15 road games. Give me Clemson. I'll give the points away. Clemson big.
You sound like Lee Corso right
there.
Yeah,
this is at like places like Duke and like Syracuse.
Well, it is the ACC. Like, you do have a point, but...
It's just
14
Kyle
of
Field.
15 on the road. I don't care who you are. You win 14 of your last 15 on the road in a Power 5 league.
I'll stand up and take notice. This will be the biggest game at Kyle Field since.
Since Alabama.
Alabama and Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
This place will be rocking. Mm. I mean, if there's one place I probably would want to be this weekend for college football, it'd be at Kyle Field.
I want to go to a game there. Is that weird?
You'll get your
I want to go to
chance.
Kyle Field. When?
After the contract's up, so after 2024.
If they don't renew it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they will, but yeah. I'd love to be there, too, even though they're so weird down there in Aggieland.
All right, game number two, Ty.
Game number two, Georgia and South Carolina. Georgia, a 10-point favorite over the home team.
What you got, Fence Man?
I think it's probably a good game. Fourth quarter, probably Georgia run away with it, maybe. I think but South Carolina probably covered.
So you got South Carolina.
So taking
cover.
South Carolina. Okay.
Georgia to win, South Carolina to cover.
All right, so you got a close game then.
Georgia absolutely, completely wrecks South Carolina. Yeah. Beats them by at least three touchdowns. There you go.
That was exciting.
Yeah. I'll take Georgia and give the points away again.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lose if I continue to go with the same people you guys go with.
Why would?
It'd just be a draw.
I went opposite of you on the last one. Took A&M. Yeah.
See, I like Georgia here too, but like, I mean, we got to make it interesting somehow. Yeah. This is why I like picking like your own games. The tiebreaker is a little different.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia in the points. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Last but not least,
Arkansas Razorbacks heading down to Colorado State, Fort Collins. Arkansas now is favored by 14 in this one.
So it's moved up from 13 and a half.
Right.
So 14.
But Tyler, you get to go first this time.
Yes.
I like Arkansas in the points. I mean, 14's a tricky one. I really like 13 and a half. You move it up half a point, you get to 14. Okay, that's tricky. I'm still going to take us.
This one opened at what?
In the points.
This one opened at...
It was way a lot less.
Six.
It's like six
and a half. Yeah. I've seen it open
at
like 11.
They got it at that.
Yeah. You know? Obviously shows where everyone's betting. Mm-hmm. Going with Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So, well, I guess I can go next. I got Arkansas winning this one easily by more than two touchdowns. Give me the Hogs. I think that they're probably going to go in there and win somewhere around. I mean, we'll give our actual score predictions, but win by somewhere between 17, 21 points.
Vince, man?
I agree with the guys, Hogs.
Yeah.
Tommy, you going to buck the trend?
Yep, clean sweep. Hogs and lay the points.
All right, and the last one, the bonus pick. Arkansas State, Alabama, the score differential in this one. It is a 36.5 line in favor of the Crimson Tide.
I'm taking them Red Wolves. I'm taking them Red Wolves.
Oh, he's going. Gosh.
Straight up.
Wolf, wolf. What do they do? They do this still with the hands. Wolf, wolf.
They got some kind of howl chant.
Is it? No. Yeah, I don't know if it's. I don't know what they do. They're weird.
Give me a score, Tyler. The score differential.
28. What? It was 30 something, right?
36.5.
Yeah.
28.
Fitzman.
31.
31. John.
Give me 34.
And Tommy.
How would they do this on Price is Right? $1, Bob. Give me 30. I think we all agree he's not going to – I don't think this is a runaway.
Well, I mean, Nick Saban
doesn't
has,
do that.
But so, also Arkansas State has been saying that they feel like they're going to go in there and win.
He had one wide receiver say that.
That's all that matters with Nick Saban.
Okay,
one person says it.
What was the point differential?
Hang on, 34 was the highest, right? Someone else?
Yeah, I said 34.
All right, give me – Give me 34 and a half.
34 and a half.
So 35.
Yeah, give me 35.
Okay. It was 51-14, by the way, Tyler, for Louisville, Alabama last weekend.
But he was asking the spread. I think it was 20,
the spread?
26, wasn't it?
No, it was 24.
24, 25, yeah, right there.
So, yeah. You want to change your mind, Tyler?
Look, I mean, I kind of think Tommy's got the best idea here because, I mean, he didn't really have much to lose because now he's got a bunch of people in control. It's hard not to think that Alabama's going to beat Arkansas State by, like, 35 points.
But they could call their own number. I mean, if Alabama wants to win by 70, they could, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I think Saban obviously put it on Petrino. He hates Petrino. I don't know if he's got that same feeling about Arkansas State that he has about Louisville.
That could be the case. Is there a story behind
here's,
the whole?
Here's the deal. If Arkansas State played a slower game than they play, they're going to play fast. So the faster both the teams play, the more plays everybody's going to run, and the wider the point margin, right? If they play like, let's just say, Bielema played back in the, you know, there would be a case to be made, I think, the point margin would be less. But I could see this one being quite the spread just because both teams play really fast.
Well, there you have it.
Okay. Right.
Oh. But I picked 28 points, so I'm sticking with it.
All right, you want to go over this? The picks again?
Just give us a recap.
All right, so A&M train. John and Tyler on that. Tommy and Jeremy are sticking with Clemson. On South Carolina, Jeremy's the only one with that. You guys three are with Georgia. For Arkansas, every one of you guys are going with the Razorbacks this weekend with the minus 14 spread. And Tyler's got A-State losing by 28. Fenceman's got him losing by 31. John's got to lose him by 34. And Tommy's got to lose him by 35. Yeah. So that's the bonus point. That was crucial for you last week because that's the only reason you're ahead right now is because of the bonus point.
Yeah.
So, Tyler, what we're going to do is we're going to give you 1 point even though you no-showed last week.
Don't give him squat.
No.
You want to come back from behind? All right.
No, we're not going to give him squat. Can't do that.
It's like getting strokes at the golf course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just because you didn't show up.
Don't handicap me.
Yeah. We're going to do this the right way. So there you have it. Looking to take a big-time lead after this weekend.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.